On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Hi, this is Melissa the Arabian from Food Network's $10 Dinners, and you're listening to Hannah and Dane on Flavor HD.
On the 12th day, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming like Olympus upon the surrogate.
11 Flavor HD, 720 WGN, Hannah Stanley, Dane Neal, definitely, of course, WGNradio.com for podcasts of the program. And we use a lot of good songs for our bumper music. You know,
absolutely.
Hannah, I edit them. Hannah chooses them. We work together on the, our first a cappella one. And this is a great, not only timely for the time of year, but also the Ponces, they can sing.
Well, this is, in fact, Dan Ponce was the founder and WGN's very own Dan Ponce. And he,
that's convenient.
Yes, it does help. And he was one of the originators, the founders of Straight No Chaser at Indiana University. And you can get their album and all kinds of good stuff on iTunes and anywhere you can buy fine music.
Well, he can sing and he can also do the news. Melissa the Arabian, I know that she can cook.
Yes.
She can host a television program, multiple ones. Now she's got a new one on Cooking Channel coming up, too, where she drops 5 pounds. So $10.
Like she needed to. She's
adorable. I don't know if it's for her. You know, because now, it's excellent that you mentioned that, Hannah, because now, you know, her $10 dinner, she probably, because of her shows and her books, she has the ability to afford more expensive, but her commitment to her craft.
Yes.
Right, she's doing that. And also her commitment to Flavor HD. She's going to have an autographed book of her, autographed copy of her new book, $10 Dinners for Flavor HD listeners. And all you have to do is just email info@flavorhd.com. That's info@flavorhd with your suggestion for a dinner, a meal of any kind that's your favorite. That would be about $10.
You don't have to do it during the show. We're going to announce the winner on next week's show during that first segment, like we often do. But without further ado, you know what? I am so excited to talk to her. I was a huge fan when season 5 was going on. As
you were
I was definitely pulling for her. So Melissa the Arabian, thank you so much for coming and welcome to Flavor HD.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So tell us about the new book. This is your inaugural cookbook. It is, of course, based on your very popular Food Network show, $10 Dinners. So what can we expect from the book?
Well, you know, $10 Dinners, the book and the show, you know, but the book in this case, I really want people, the minute they see the book and they open it up, that they see that this is a book that it's about celebrating great food. And it's not about, oh, well, let's just cheaply. It's really about, you know, nourishing our bodies with food that, you know, feels good to feed our family and our friends. It's about having strategies for spending with purpose and being good stewards of our resources. It's really a celebration of food, but not you know, just about budget cooking.
You know, I was able to see online some of the sample pages, and one, absolutely beautiful. So you went to the right people for supporting you on this one. But also, what I found was new and cutting edge was the fact that you would say, okay, if you're going to choose something, you kind of rank the ingredients and these recipes. So if you're going to choose something that's a little bit higher dollar value, you can make other choices that kind of round out that meal that aren't as expensive.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. A $10 dinner is a main dish and then two side dishes, or like a main dish and an appetizer and a dessert. So it's a main dish and then two other dishes. You know, and even in the world of $10 dinners, you know, sometimes I spend, you know, more money on the entree, or sometimes I have a pricier dessert. And I really wanted my readers to equip themselves with the ability to pick and choose, mix and match. And so I developed a cost coding system whereby more dots equals more money. So mm-hmm. each recipe is rated on, you know, on a dot scale. So you know that if you're going with a higher end entree, then maybe you round out, you know, the plate with a couple of one dot side dishes. So that way you can kind of make sure that you're getting your $10 budget in check. And on the flip side, if you want to pull out all the stops and do a $13 dinner, you know, for a company, then you can pick some of the higher dot items and really do a, you know, show stopping dinner, knowing that you're still in a very safe place at a, you know, a $13 or $14 dinner.
Well, this show and everything that you're doing is resonated with so many people from the get-go, and it's been your vision from day one. So this is what you do. But how has the process of being on the show, coming up with things to use for the show and doing that program, how much has that helped get extra content and ideas for the book? I mean, would this be the same book if you wrote it 2 years ago, or is it going to be different?
What I think is so exciting about $10 Dinners, the show, and the book is that I bring to the show and the page my real-life experiences. So, you know, there are recipes. The four-step chicken I've been making since I was a graduate student. So that, you know, appears on the show, and actually a version of it appears in the book. So it's really about my real-life experiences, you know, as a graduate student or, you know, when I was a young professional working in finance and working 80 hours a week and still having dinner parties, or when my husband and I, you know, lived in Paris before we had kids, or when I became a stay-at-home mom. All of these life experiences inform how I cook. And I think you see that in the recipes. These are recipes that I make my family. And so when I give you, you know, I have my top 10 commandments for $10 dinner cooking. I live those commandments myself. You know, those are all in the book. And when I run into people at the grocery store, they look in my grocery cart and see I'm actually making the very food that I talk about on TV and in the book. So you're right. It's a deeply personal connection with the recipes. And that's why I love giving a little story, you know, an introduction to each recipe, sort of what it means to me and where it came from and sort of what's the background.
When you started having the budget consciousness, was it because it was a necessity or because it was something fun to do, sort of a challenge to see if you could do it on a tight budget?
You know, that's a very interesting question. It's actually one that I've never been asked. And the truth is probably a mix of both. I think that I was raised by a single mom who was putting herself through college and then eventually medical school. So certainly there was a huge necessity to live on a major budget. I mean, there are definitely some days where we didn't have, you know, all the food that we, you know, probably should have had. So we were on a very tight budget. All growing up, I was on a very tight budget. That being said, my mom always had an attitude about it of, you know, we can do it. We can sort of rise above this and, you know, and make it work for us. I remember that one time she made dinner for 35. She had bought chicken wings, like not like drumettes. Like this is before chicken wings were actually something that people, you know, ate.
Yeah.
Not like fun drumettes, but chicken wings. Like actually, you know, like the Z-shaped wing.
Yes.
And I served that to us for dinner for 35 cents. And I remember, you know, that she was proud of doing that. And there was a pride in that and a sort of a sense of, you know, accomplishment. And I think that that is carried through in my food. I feel a sense of joy when I can really leverage a humble ingredient and turn simple russet potato into this, you know, potato bacon tort, which is in the book. You know,
wow.
I do see that sort of as, I don't know if the word is really game, but I see that as a sense of accomplishment. I like to manage our resources well. If I buy a tub of sour cream, I want to use the last little bit. And I want to have strategies to make sure that I do that and that I'm spending wisely and that if I buy something, I use it. It's just kind of common sense and it just connects me to the world. And I feel like it's respecting the world and its resources.
Well, you mentioned growing up and being on a tight budget, but you also mentioned that the book and the show is not budget cooking. You want to have really good food. Now, you're living in Paris and, of course, some of the success and just being on the show, I'm sure you're around really great food all the time. Do you run into things where you say, this does not cost $10, but I would like to find a way to make this recipe into one of my affordable things, change a few things here and there, give the same basic dish. Have you done that?
Do that all the time. We go out to dinner and in fact, I did a show where a $10 dinners episode where we went to Scarpetta in New York with Scott Conant, who's the chef there. It is lovely. And he showed us his version of his dishes, and then I made my $10 dinner version. So
nice.
That was a really fun thing to do. But yes, I get inspiration all the time from eating great combinations of food, you know, out in restaurants.
Well, you just talked about leveraging, you know, a simple ingredient. And really, that's kind of your story because you took a video of you making yogurt at home and turned it into winning season 5 of Next Food Network Star. How comfortable were you going into it as a home cook that you could compete on that level?
Well, you're right. I was the only one who did not have, had not gone to culinary school and wasn't a professional chef. But I also know that just in life, I really believe in, knowing what you bring to the table and bring your best version of that. And then, what the other people think of that and what the judges think of that or thought of that was sort of not my business. Mm-hmm. My job was to make it very clear to them what I could bring to the table and, and then let them decide if that was compelling. And I think it's a job interview strategy, no matter what the job interview is. And that's what Food Network Star was. It was really a job interview.
Absolutely. Well, it has worked out great for everybody, certainly for Food Network Star, and exciting for all the viewers to be able to experience everything that you're going through. The book is $10 Dinners. Melissa D'Arabian, can't thank you enough for being in Flavor HD.
Thank you so much for having me and squeezing me in. It's a real treat. I have great memories of Chicago. My husband went to business school there. My first two children were born in Evanston. So it's a little bit like going home, even just on the phone.
All right. Thanks, Melissa D'Arabian. She's got her new, this is a success story because she mentioned it too. You asked about her background. Next Food Network Star, they were all chefs, executive chefs, some relatively famous in wherever they were.
Yep.
She was the first home cook to actually come through and win that program. And she did win it and has been successful with the television shows that she's doing.
It's interesting, too, because we didn't get a chance to talk to her about this, but some of the winners have gone on to mega success, Guy Fieri being one of them, and
Jeff Morrow,
our very
I don't
favorite
know if that's mega.
Jeff Morrow.
It's local mega
success, but Melissa is one of them. There are a few who have just kind of walked away from it, like, no, I did it, that was great, and it's something to put on the resume, but have not done much with it. There have been people, Artie Sakura, I think is how we pronounce it. She's coming up in the new year. We're going to be interviewing
her. Yep.
But it was interesting because so many people try for years and years and years, and she made a yogurt video and then poof was on.
You never know.
You don't
you never
ever,
know what's
ever
gonna do it.
Know.
Chicago ties, too, with the family. She was up in Evanston. As she mentioned, her husband went to grad school up there at Northwestern. Heard right here on WGN.
Yeah. But the book is something, trust me, you guys want to get a hold of. So email us your favorite recipe that can be made quickly and efficiently and for around $10. It's going to be info@flavorhd.com.
It denotes some kind of use of a computer. You got to do that. Now, if you're wondering, once you do that and you put it in there, and I'm guessing the $10 sized meal won't take up a ton of space or a ton of time. You've got some extra time. You want to go ahead and experiment with things. Maybe make something and try to emulate the success. You've got a recipe that can do those same things, either make use of things, isn't super expensive, maybe not super hard.
No, she mentioned that, if she buys a tub of sour cream, she wants to use it. And that's one of the things we've been trying to do in our own home for a long time. But what I have realized is that having two small kids, I typically have pasta cooked and ready, on the ready, because it just makes it so much easier. It's a restaurant trick. You make that pasta ahead of time and then you can...
How long does that last?
Couple days.
Okay.
Yeah. So you cook it and you seal it. I can put it back in the pan and make other things with it. And what I have started doing is couple of different dishes, but the one we're talking about today is skillet lasagna. And it happened because I had, of course, the pasta laying around. I always have dry pasta just in case. We had some ground beef and then I had some ricotta that I was thinking, what am I going to do with the leftover ricotta?
You can't just eat it right out of the
absolutely not. So what I did is brown the ground beef and then took some pasta sauce that we also had that was open in the refrigerator, put that in, made a little bit of kind of a lasagna sauce as you would, prepping to make an actual baked lasagna, and then threw in that ricotta and some Italian seasoning to spice up the pasta sauce because it was very plain, and then just that leftover pasta and poof, it tasted just like lasagna, but we didn't have to go through the whole layering process. So it was much quicker. I think I made it in like 10 or 15 minutes. Easy.
10 or 15 minutes and being able to utilize some of those products. And those are in the team photo of things that get thrown out. I can't tell you how many times I've thrown out half a thing of sour cream where you're not really sure if it's still okay.
Yeah, that tub of ricotta. I will tell you, the best kitchen tool I have is a Sharpie marker. It helps me. I am not kidding. It helps you save so much money. Everything that comes out of my cabinet to get open to go into the fridge is labeled with the date that I opened
it. Really?
Absolutely. And we've talked to the Assistant U.S. Surgeon General who talked to us about
safety
storage.
First. He actually puts the time
first.
On his with us down to the second.
He does. He has little alarms that go off right. that you need to use this. But I can judge, and you can go to the website, the Surgeon General's website, and get all of that information about how long you should store things. But if there's something that you're a little bit concerned about, of course, throw it out. It's never worth the price of food poisoning.
The inch or two of pasta sauce on the bottom is also one thing that gets wasted too. How long does that usually last, at least for you?
Well, I don't know. My husband's rule is if there's no mold, it's fine. And my rule is a little bit less lenient than that.
All right.